Hello, friends. Hi. And I'm able to continue now on page 56. We are in Rule 1. And we have been looking at, previously, the work required by the disciple. It's twofold. We have to link up the lower personal self and the overshadowing soul, so that we can know in the physical brain consciousness the divine fact that the soul actually exists. Okay. And the next thing, the work required to, so that we can understand our own nature, control the forces of our own nature, enable us to unfold our latent powers, so we can deal with our own specific problems. I think that's all clear enough. And I'll just highlight those things so they stand out. And now we move forward in this way. Students of these matters are therefore begged to extend their concept to that of the hierarchy of souls. Now, I'm doing it again, right? I'm not pressing my chronometer. All right, there it goes. Students of these matters are therefore begged to extend their concept of that hierarchy of souls so that they conclude all the exoteric fields of human life, political, social, economic, religious, in other words, all areas governed by the seven ashrams, so that we do not think of spiritual life only as religious life. They are begged not to narrow down the concept, as so many do, to only those who have brought their life, their own little particular organization into being, or to those who are working purely on the subjective side of life and along what are recognized by the conservatives as the so-called religious and spiritual lines. We have to have not a conservative recognition, but an inclusive recognition. So this ends up being very important. Let's see, let's make it a little bit bigger. Here is one of those fundamental statements. All that tends to lift the status of humanity on any plane of manifestation is religious work and has a spiritual goal, for matter is but spirit on the lowest plane, and spirit, we are told, is but matter on the highest. Again, sort of quoting Blavatsky's statement so often seen in these pages from the Secret Doctrine. So let's think about that. All that tends to lift the status of humanity on any plane of manifestation is religious work. It binds us again, religare, it binds us again to our spiritual source. Our inner source is religious work and has a spiritual goal, that goal being the liberation of humanity. For matter is but spirit on the lowest plane, and spirit, we are told, is but matter on the highest. And of course, we should really somehow meditate upon that. It's all the universal logos in manifestation, or in the state of self-observation. Everything we can possibly see and encounter in the entire universe is the universal logos. All is spirit. All is spirit. That's it. Which is another way of saying that, you know, all is the universal logos. And these differentiations are but the product of the finite mind, which is the root in its normal functioning, it is the root of illusion. Therefore, all workers and knowers of God, in or out of fleshly bodies, good reminder, you know, a great deal more work going on the inside than on the outside, and working in any field of divine manifestation, form part of the planetary hierarchy and are integral units in that great cloud of witnesses who are the onlookers and observers. And, you know, looking here, we see basically that if we look at who is included in hierarchy, we see actually, let's see if I can, yeah, there we go. There it is. There it is. Oh, come on now. I had that just a minute ago. Okay. That's it. I go there. First here and then there. So, if we look at who is included within hierarchy, we see not only the masters, but the four grades of initiates, 1 through 4. Excuse me, the various grades of disciples, and this shows us that before initiation, one can be a disciple of a kind, and people on the probationary path, they're all included, and they're all, in a way, at least those below are learning to be the onlookers, and the true onlookers are the masters themselves. All right, so therefore, all workers and knowers of God form part of the planetary hierarchy. In any field, working in any field of divine manifestation, form part of the planetary hierarchy. And this is often something that has to be adjusted. Our conception here is often weak, and we tend to fall into conventional modes of thought that were created more by those with a concrete mind, the conservatives trying to conserve the limited perceptions offered by the concrete mind. That's another definition of conservative. Of course, there are many things that have to be conserved, and the ancient wisdom, the ageless wisdom, is full of the idea of conservation, of that which is of the greatest value. But we're talking about, you know, more the limited a definition of conservative, conserving the wrong things and being subject to the prejudices of those limited perceptions. So the great cloud of onlookers and witnesses, why a cloud? I suppose because it is associated with subtlety and being in heaven and away from identification with earth per se. They possess the power of spiritual insight or perception, as well as objective or spiritual vision, and let's just say that both are necessary in the true spiritual worker, such as a master of the wisdom is. Let's see, master of the wisdom. I was sure that we had that. Master of the wisdom. Aha, right, it's just M-O-W, okay. All right, so let's just get that out of there. Such as a master of the wisdom is. In studying Rule 1, we could summarize it simply, yet profoundly under the following words. So let's see. Egoic communication, that is the communication from the higher self, substanded by the angel of the presence or the extension of the solar angel, or just we can simply say by the solar angel. Cyclic meditation of both the personality, the man, the disciple, and by the higher agency, the solar angel itself, or the angel of the presence, and coordination and at-one-ment between them. These rules do start off in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire with a brief summary of the process and a statement as to the nature of the White Magician. Now, It's at this point that I want to say that some time ago, when doing a written analysis of a treatise on cosmic fire, up till maybe the last 100 pages or so of it, approximately 100 pages, maybe a little more, I did deal with these rules in a written form, and I guess I would encourage people to see what is written there. And also, to a degree, I imported for written analysis these rules from A Treatise on White Magic. I didn't go over the book exhaustively, but I imported the major themes, the major ideas, and they will appear in written form alongside at least some of the rules given in Cosmic Fire. Okay, so these are the three factors. Egoic communication. What we are above communicates with what we are below, and what we are above is substood or substanded by the angel of the presence, which is that part of the massive or great solar angel which is invested in the egoic lotus. And the cyclic meditation of both of these agencies, the personality, the disciple within the personality, and the ego above, and also the coordination or atonement of the two. Now, he goes on, I would like in this first consideration of our subject to enumerate briefly the facts given in the commentary so as to demonstrate to the aspirant how much is given him for his consideration and helping if he knows how to read and ponder upon what is read. Now, the Tibetan also, you know, this what I'm doing is a commentary upon a commentary. And sometimes those who make commentary are looked down upon as if they are not real authors, but, you know, well, what can I say? There is a need, I think, to enlarge upon the Tibetan's commentary in certain places so that the students can find links to what he said, and it brings, in a Mercurian manner, the teaching together. All right, so this is a brief exegesis of Rule 1, and it's given in the following statements. And I think, why does he do this? He does this to help us study more carefully and to read more carefully. He always says you're not reading with sufficient care. All right, well, we can understand that that is the truth. So often we just gloss over things as if one simple reading without pondering will reveal the content of what is read, and it won't. Not in the case of this kind of deep academic occultism. And of course, it's more than academic. It starts out as academic, but it leads to practical action. So number one, the white magician is one who is in touch with his soul, and we just have to say, are we? Really? Do we know we are? Okay. Number two, he is receptive to and aware of the purpose and the plan of his soul, a tiny aspect of the divine plan. But in general, he leads a planned and purposeful life. Do we? You know, obviously, this is what we ask. Are we going from thing to thing, following this interest and that? Do we have a real life program? We have to ask ourselves. And we have to answer as fairly as may be possible. All right, number three, he is capable of receiving impressions from the realm of spirit and of registering them in the physical brain. Now, let's look at that. By spirit, here, in this context, we can mean soul, triad, and monad. The higher centers and aspects of the human energy system. Okay, now, you know, there are so many places from which to receive impression, and in the introduction, it discussed those places, and so often impression is received from the astral plane or maybe the mental plane, but from the plane of soul, from the higher, still higher ego, the plane of triad, from the still higher ego, everything capitalized, you might say, in the word ego, the monad, these intimations of pure being, of infusception, of the all-pervading identicality, which includes all things. This is what the monad will confer, so that all is one, truly, and that differentiation, even differentiation is overcome, and even the limitations found in unity are overcome, so that all appears as sameness, which does not mean that one cannot operate within the realm of myavic distinction. All right, well, that is spoken rather than written. I can't write everything. It is also stated that white magic works from above downward, from the from the world of spirit, what about that? From the world of spirit, there we go, from the world of spirit to the familiar objective man, and is the result of solar vibration. Now remember, these are solar angels that from which the white magic comes. These are solar angels from which the white magical process emanates. They're instructing us the divine plan and purpose, and therefore of egoic energy. Now remember, the solar angels are associated with our solar logos and are emanations, in a way, of the great solar angel, which is the solar angel of our solar logos. It seems, you know, sometimes solar angels are there because of a retardation in the process of a being, even a great being, and we would have to see whether solar angels are there always because of retardation. I think they have a role in various planets in our solar system, maybe not due to retardation, and maybe have on the cosmic, in a cosmic sense, a role in the life of our solar logos, again, maybe not due to retardation, though our solar logos is not yet a sacred solar logos and is not yet advanced as Sirius is, who is a sacred solar logos. Okay, white magic is not an effect of the vibration of the form side of life, being divorced from emotion and mental impulse, though these are utilized in objectifying white magical intention. So the that which has been meditated upon under the guidance of the angel of the presence of the solar angel must be objectified in the lower worlds and although the impulse does not originate from the emotional level or the mental level, they are utilized and the devas associated with these levels, the lower Agnishvatas, we might say, or at least the devas of the concrete mental plane, whatever we want to call them, and the lower Agni Suryans are involved here, as well as the Agni Chaitans of the etheric levels. They're all involved in the concretizing of the thought form, which is inspired by the solar angel and which is meditated into existence by the disciple who is immersed within the personality but responsive to the meditation of the solar angel. All right, so, you know, we're looking at what white magic is. The downflow of energy from the soul, and may we all experience it from time to time and more deliberately, is the result of a constant internal recollectedness. The consciousness is not outgoing. It is inwardly focused and responsive. A concentrated, one-pointed communication by the soul with the mind and brain. So the higher being is also meditating in a concentrated manner and is a, what do they call it, a downward gazing soul. And coming into that state at a certain point of point of development. All right, I have to do it differently. Looks like a Russian word, almost. Point of development. P-O-I-N-T. Point of development. At a certain point of development. Steady meditation upon the plan of evolution. Well, if we as disciples... disciples within the personality, incarnated disciples, we might say, the extension of consciousness that is within the personality, let's put it like that, the disciple, oh goodness, I can't, I have to have this, sorry, the true disciple is the extension of soul consciousness within the personality. And as this soul in incarnation meditates, let's see, meditates upon the divine plan, so the energy from the overshadowing soul descends. So if in an inward recollected way we meditate upon the divine plan, as we as disciples should be quite frequently doing, the meditation, the energy of the soul will flow down, will descend, will flow in. So we inwardly recollect ourselves. We remain open to the inflow. We don't clutter our mind with a lot of concrete thoughts, and we steadily meditate upon the plan of evolution. I often do it, you know, I think about what is each ashram supposed to produce. Then I might go into the various sub-ashrams, and I think about the 10 seed groups and how they possibly offer improvement to the human condition. And by the time I'm finished with that, I have a pretty good example of the areas of the of human living which have to be attended to, and the agencies, both of disciples and of masters and higher initiates, which are attending to them. And so I get some idea of the divine plan as far as what the great developments will be regarding the fourth chain and the various globes and the fifth chain and the sixth chain and all that, and the rounds within our particular chain, and the scheme rounds which are passing through the various chains sequentially, just as the normal the chain rounds. Yeah, the chain rounds are passing through the globes. One can get a fairly good but vague idea of what has to be considered when we're dealing with the higher aspects of the divine plan. All that's going on here is about preparing our planetary logos to become a true base of the spine center for our solar logos, and help the solar logos enter into the higher initiations, fourth, fifth, sixth, promised to that logos. If all works well, the fifth initiation will definitely involve our planet as a major, major source of Kundalini. All right. Now let's see. Reminding ourselves what we're doing here, reminding me what we're doing. Here's this brief exegesis of what's offered in this rule, giving us an idea, again, of how carefully we must read, lest we habitually and easily overlook what is given to us. The soul is therefore in deep meditation during the whole cycle of physical incarnation, which is all that concerns the student here, and let's just say that meditation may be on the issues which relate to the soul, solar angel, of the presence, and not to the rapid development of the personality which it is supervising. In other words, the solar angel, angel of the presence, has its own affairs to deal with, and sometimes curiously and even a little humorously, DK says, don't always be importuning your soul. It has its own issues to deal with in the realm of spiritual telepathy on the higher planes, and let it do so. You know, it will attend to you. See, there's an issue here. Are we the soul? Yes, we are. I mean, we are a higher form of consciousness. We are that extension of monadic consciousness that we call soul consciousness within the causal body. But we are supported by the presence of another interfusing consciousness, also present with our consciousness, sort of blending with it, that we call the angel of the presence, which is an extension of a larger being called the solar angel, which does not invest itself utterly fully into our causal body, egoic lotus. I don't think we could stand an utterly full investment, an utterly full presence. So the angel of the solar angel remains on its own plane, whatever that is, maybe the Buddhic plane, and invests a portion of itself into our growing consciousness on the higher mental plane. These things are a little hard to explain. I'm giving you my present thought on the matter. You know, will I change my thinking as I go along and learn more? You know, most probably. But I give you what seems correct to me at this time. All right, further, we're dealing with what is found in this chapter. This meditation is rhythmic and cyclic in nature, as is all else in cosmos. The soul breathes and its form lives thereby. Well, there is a life-sustaining meditation when the soul looks away. You know, when I'm using the word soul here, I'm meaning angel of the present soul or angel, not the human soul, even the human soul on its own plane. When the soul looks away and withdraws its attention, the personality dies, or the soul in incarnation is extracted from the personality elementals. So, but there is also the soul's cyclic meditation, which has to do with inspiration and is found in the realm of consciousness. So we're not just dealing with life streams which sustain us, we are dealing with streams of consciousness which illumine the soul in incarnation, bringing in the light and making possible the mind held steady in the light, and the astral body irradiated with love, and the etheric body capable of carrying soul energy, and so forth. Obviously, these are words, and we need the experiences. This is what's important. Further in this exegesis, goodness, there's a lot, isn't there? When the communication between the soul and its instrument is conscious and steady, the man becomes a white magician, you know, contacting the higher agencies at will, and not just dependent, as is the mystic, for an occasional downflow, the cause of which is often unknown. So we are approaching the science of meditation. Of meditation, and also we can call it also the science of contact of the lower with the higher. And as far as how the higher, the soul, angel of the present soul or angel, contacts us, that will be left to the responsiveness of that great being who has, well, he's kind of like one solar system in its development ahead of we human beings. Going on with the exegesis, therefore, workers in white magic are invariably and through the very nature of things advanced human beings. Well, relatively advanced here, you know, at least I've often thought that by the time we're hovering around the first initiation, we have, in terms of the number of incarnations we might experience, maybe fulfilled 98-99% of our development. We've been through a lot. We've forgotten it. It's all built into our nature. The memory is there in the permanent atoms, and the harvest of the memory in terms of faculty is there in the causal body. We've been through a lot, and millions of years of development. I think, fortunately, it is all rather buried until it can be reclaimed advantageously. And in the new schools, we'll be taught about the type of meditation which reclaims relevant past lives. Not all are really relevant. Some, maybe long ago, the learning is so slow that we can't say that the karma from those lives is affecting our present situation. That old karma has been worked out. So we are said to be maybe advanced human beings, for it takes many cycles of lives to train a magician. Many cycles of lives. Many. All right. So from the time we, you know, long ago, many of us began to reverse the wheel. Maybe not a final reversal, but we began to acknowledge a higher power or source of uplift or inspiration. And when we, you know, this is called repentance, turning around, turning back, beginning to rise. All right. Ooh. So, advanced human beings, and for those who are not yet advanced human beings to undertake the work of white magic, well, it probably won't happen. There won't be sufficient interest. There wouldn't be sufficient ability or background, and there could be more dangers lurking than the more cultivated and wiser and more experienced human being than for such a more cultivated, wise, and experienced human being. Number 10, the soul dominates its form through the medium of the sutratma or life thread, and through it vitalizes its triple instrument, mental, emotional, physical, and thus sets up a communication with the brain. So the sutratma is found anchored in the brain and the heart also. We can't forget that. And the consciousness thread is found anchored in the brain. Sutratma. Right, sutratman. But let's just do that. Sutratma. Through the brain, consciously controlled, the man is galvanized into intelligent activity on the physical plane, and this is through the living downflow of higher awareness or consciousness into the brain. If we really want to extract ourselves from our habitually limited field, we have to look within. The kingdom of heaven is within, and the ability, the inspiration to abstract ourselves, extract ourselves, withdraw, and know what we are, and then control what we have abstracted ourselves from. If we really want to be able to do all that, meditation is the way, and contact with this higher agency within ourselves, which has the power to do so, is completely necessary. The above is a brief analysis of the first rule for magic, and I would like to suggest that in the future, as the students meditate on the rules, that they make such an analysis themselves. Now, that would be a good assignment in the Moria Federation for people studying white magic to make their own outline, their own exegesis of what is to be found, the main points to be found in any one of the chapters. That would be a little difficult in the chapter that's 150 pages long. Chapter 10 is very long. I don't know if it's 150 pages, but it's long. If they do this during their consideration of each rule, they will approach the whole matter with greater interest and knowledge. So like any good teacher, he's clearing our way for better assimilation. They will also save themselves much looking back and reference. Well, these days it's a little easier, isn't it? We have the AABCDROM. I remember a friend of mine who I guess was the referential type. I have many friends who spend time with indexes or used to. And they were overjoyed when the computer technology made possible the appearance of the CD-ROM and the possibility of seeing all references under the eye virtually simultaneously, or at least in rapid sequence. It's an amazing integrative tool. And I strongly suggest that those of you who have only the books spend the dollars, $100 or a little more to get the CD-ROM, put it on your computer, and really work in that way. You will speed up and deepen your study significantly. And the factor of assimilation will be much increased. And we do have to assimilate as the new teaching is coming. That's one of my themes, you know, assimilate now, the new teaching is coming. Let's see how many pages we have here. Oh, fair amount. Okay, well, we're not going to get through this right away unless I've somehow skipped into... No, I haven't. So rule two begins here on page 70, 71, and we're nowhere near that. All right, this is going to take a number of programs for us to work through. It will be seen from a consideration of the above analysis that a very clear summation is given, and that the student has started in his study of magic with a brief understanding of the past situation, his equipment, and method of approach. We have to take stock of ourselves, know what we have achieved and not achieved, be humble or proportionally oriented towards our achievements or non-achievements. It doesn't help to exaggerate, doesn't help to minimize. It helps to see things as they are. Let us realize from the start the simplicity of the idea intended to be conveyed by my remarks hitherto. Just as in the past the instrument and its relation to the outer world has been the paramount fact in the experience of the spiritual man, or let's just say the spiritual man here is going to be the soul in incarnation, invested into the personality and cognizant, mainly, of the personality vehicles. So now it is possible for a readjustment to take place wherein the outstanding fact will be the spiritual man. Now, the solar angel or soul. Now, spiritual man is used in two ways, the soul and incarnation, but also the solar angel called in this context the soul. We have to be really careful about this word soul. It has a number of different definitions. Our consciousness invested within the personality is the soul in incarnation. Consciousness within incarnation, within the personality vehicles. But soul on the higher mental plane is a consciousness in a more subtle field and is more truly called the soul. It's called, for the human being at least, soul on its own plane. But if we think about the solar angel on its own plane, we may be going to higher planes yet, and yet the solar angel has sacrificially extended itself into our higher mental plane, which is a fall for that solar angel, into the dense physical body of the planetary logos, or at least a dense physical body of the solar logos. So the word soul changes in its meaning depending on the context, and we really have to see what is meant in each context. Because sometimes, you know, we are the soul. And yet DK can be using that word to indicate the angel of the presence of the solar angel, and not what we are, the human soul on the higher mental plane or the immersed human soul. The soul in incarnation, and let's call it the personality immersed human soul. But also the solar angel, called as it often is the soul. And when DK is speaking of the solar angel and its extension, the angel of the presence, he used the word soul. So it took me a long time to satisfactorily, at least to my own satisfaction, work out certain definitions so that I was happy with what they conveyed to me. I'm willing to change them, you know, when better definitions may come along and a deeper understanding may come along. It will also be realized that his relationship through the form side will be to the inner as well as to the outer worlds, that we, the soul in incarnation, we, the disciple, that's another way of saying it. Disciple, no, that's no good. The disciple is the soul in incarnation, but the personality is not the soul in incarnation, except in so much as the power of the soul has made the aggregation of the personality vehicles through the permanent atoms possible. But the human soul, the immersed soul, the soul in incarnation, this is the disciple within the personality vehicles, and of course the disciple can also rise into the presence of the angel of the presence and into the presence of the solar angel once it abstracts itself from desirous involvement in the activities, the phenomenal activities of the personality. The Buddha tried to help us do that. Man has included in his relation only the form side of the field of average human evolution. So pratyahara, you know, the fifth means of yoga is needed. Pratyahara. Maybe it's, I've lived in the Scandinavian countries too long, so a J is like a ya. Pratyahara or abstraction from desirous involvement in the phenomenal, that's phenomenon. So, phenomenal personality vehicles is needed. And looks like some kind of chemical, phenyl, okay. P-H-E-N-L, and I hope I'm able to do this quickly. Phenomenal. All right, let's see how that works. All right, there's probably other ways that I've spelled that. Phenomenal personality vehicles. Okay, but the soul in incarnation, who is the disciple and the extension of the higher consciousness, let's just say that. The soul in incarnation is an extension of higher consciousness. He, the soul in incarnation, has used it and been dominated by it. He has also suffered from it through identification, an inevitable and mistaken identification at first. There's no other way, because nothing else is coming through, and so you identify with what you see. He has also suffered from it and consequently in time revolted. That revolt is very helpful because it sets us on a new track. It's kind of Pluto is involved in that revolt. Let's just say Pluto gives us, I always forget that I have to have my bracket. Pluto gives us distaste and even nausea for the ingestion of limiting experience. And so we put that to death by abstracting our consciousness from it. Okay, this T-A-S-T-E. Okay. And then finally it says, consequently in time revolted through utter satiety, just, you know, what that means, a colloquial way of saying it is, we, the soul incarnation, become fed up. from all that pertains to the material world. It just doesn't produce what we want anymore. We've exhausted our desire for the material world, and we have assessed the kind of suffering that exists because of it. Dissatisfaction, disgust, distaste, or deep fatigue, all these D's, right? There are some pretty good D's. Detachment, dispassion, discrimination, decentralization, discipline was the first one, detachment the last. Those five D's, but these are rejective D's. All right, so these are the rejective D's. D's. So dissatisfaction, disgust, distaste, deep fatigue are characteristic very frequently of those who are on the verge of discipleship. Fed up. Just not wanting to ingest any more of customary experience, the limitations of which really are seen. For what is the disciple? He is one who seeks to learn a new rhythm, to enter a new field of experience, and to follow the steps of that advanced humanity who have trodden ahead of him the path leading from darkness to light. I love this. From the unreal to the real. And onward from death to immortality. We would be the initiate there. So what is the disciple? And I want to underline that. Because, a lot of us are aspirants. We're inconsistent in our approach to reality. We want it, but we're inconsistent. And we're not sufficiently mentally focused. We do not persist. But if we were this, we seek a new rhythm of higher impression working out in our lives. We seek to enter a new field of experience. It's waiting, and it has not been detected before this time, and it offers great expansion of possibility. And to follow the steps of that advanced humanity who have trodden ahead of him the path, we admire these people. They can do great things. They have great love. They have great light. They sacrifice themselves. We admire that. Leading from darkness to light and from the unreal to the real. He has tasted of the joys of life in the world of illusion and has learnt their powerlessness to satisfy and hold him. And let's just say the Buddha really taught this. Do not desire that which is contained in the phenomenal world. The phenomenal world. So I've got to continue to underline and do this, right? Now he is in a state of transition between the new and the old states of being. The being is the same, of course, but his existence out in the world changes dramatically, but with a degree of torture, being pulled in two directions, still, occasionally, he is vibrating between the condition of soul awareness and form awareness. He is seeing double. And we've got to say, he is really a human being and tortured by duality, as is the human being in the fourth kingdom of nature. Well, what a life. Okay. His spiritual perception grows slowly and surely as the brain becomes capable of illumination from the soul. The brain, the etheric brain, the pineal gland, the brain cells around the pineal gland, all become capable of illumination from the downpouring soul. And with our recollected attitude and our consistent attempt to meditate and contact the supervising angel of the presence and to respond when we feel something initiated from the other side, because we don't necessarily initiate everything. It may be that the angel of the presence sees a good time to contact its shadow, which it does rhythmically, but of course, when it's a downward gazing soul, it can be alert to those moments when a higher contact comes. I remember a recapitulation that happened in my life when I was a young man, and I just got this thing on the top of my head, and it was just buzzing away, and I said, well, you know, I said, well, I'm going to die or something. Anyway, I recognize that now that a moment had been seen by the supervising intelligence to contact me, and I was very, me as a personality, and I was very moved, and it was a confirmation, you know, of being on the right path, working with my teacher, really, really, you know, six planets in Pisces and Leo rising, first-ray personality, second-ray soul, really taught identification. Anyway, his spiritual perception grows slowly and surely. As illumination becomes possible, as the intuition develops, from the soul even, you know, not only from the Buddhic plane, from that part of the intuition which has flowed into the soul. Soul has intuition too. The radius of awareness grows and new fields of knowledge unfold. It's an exciting possibility for us. Now, I think even though I may not be quite at the hour, this is the place to stop, because we're talking about new fields of knowledge which will be unfolding. Okay, so this will be the end of A Treatise on White Magic, a video commentary number 14, from page something to page something. I really ought to look this up before I... Okay, come on. Surely. This looks like page 61. Oh, there's page 60. And I suppose we're on page 59. So, we... 56 to 59, I suppose. Just a few pages, but many things to consider on our path forward towards illumination and towards that great love which always is, from the second ray soul of our planetary logo. So this is from page 56 to 59. I think I'm pretty accurate. If I miss a page, okay, it's close enough. And then this will be the beginning of A Treatise on White Magic, video commentary number 15. And we'll start on page 59. I hope I'm correct in that 59, you know, trying to find that. I say it doesn't matter, and then I act a little bit compulsive. There's 58. There's 58. Surely, we must have a 59. Oh, I'm just going to assume it's there and that somehow I have missed it, because it's a lot easier to see the red on the CD-ROM than it is to see this, okay? I don't want to be too compulsive here, and but I tend to be that way a little bit, you know, when it comes to page numbers. I've had discussions with my friends, you know, and okay, the first field of knowledge, and I'm going to look at that, and I'm going to see where it is. First field, you're involved in a psychological study here of compulsion. Oh, goody. Okay, the first field of knowledge, and we do have red, and it is, right, it is page 59. Oh, what a relief that is. And somehow I've managed to eat up the rest of the time. Well, look, friends, onward we go. White Magic, a great and necessary book. We all will become white magicians. We all will become esoteric psychologists as we enter the hierarchy. It may not be our emphasis, but those things go with the hierarchical turf. We will necessarily, no matter what our ray is, no matter what our ashram is, have ability within white magic, have ability within esoteric psychology. We're looking forward to our hierarchical function, and it begins even now on the path of discipleship because we are included within that blue circle. All right. Until later, with number 15, and thank you for being here, whatever year this is you're listening to it. Onward.